What a wonderful day it is for me today to have this privilege to stand before this little congregation of God's people here at Bethel. Your hall is so very special to me. You've done so much for me. I owe you so much. I wouldn't dare start calling names. But after over the last few years, you've been always there to help me. And you've been a blessing to me always. And I love each and every one of you. Today is the 18th day of May, I believe. On this day, 10 years ago, I moved from East Tennessee to Alabama to be close to my children. Bethel congregation had been recommended to me highly. And Nancy, my precious wife, who and I enjoyed here for 6 years of those 10 years, and I placed our membership here at Bethel. And we were never disappointed. I developed so many friends here. And I look through this congregation. Some of those friends are not out there. They've gone on along with my precious life to be with the Lord. While there's others out there that are very dear to me, they can't be here due to sicknesses and other things. But I am so fortunate to have the privilege of being invited to stand before you today and try to bring you a message from God's Word. I appreciate the trust that your preacher, Brother Jimmy Clark, and your elders and you have put into me to allow me to stand here and try to do so. As you know, I suffer from a serious disease, Parkinson's disease. I don't have good control of my body. I take medication for it, but sometimes I have a tendency to fall or even walk backward. Brother Tommy here saved me from falling the other day. That's why they're here. Tell me. And I don't have the abilities that I used to have. So I have to put more into my lessons than I used to. I have to make more distinct outlines to avoid losing my train of thought. But nevertheless, it's always been a pleasure to me, and I've always delighted to speak to a group of people and tell them about my Lord. I need your prayers. Pray for me now as I try to bring you this message, that I can do it well and say the things that I should say that would be pleasing to God, helpful to you, that may cause someone to obey the gospel and be uplifting to our church. I picked a unique subject to talk to you about today. That's very close to my heart due to what I have traveled. I've suffered through the last 4 years. The name of, I have a subject to this sermon called Jesus Christ, the Great Physician. The greatest physician. And I call your attention to these verses. Our text, John chapter 4, verses 45 and 54, especially. I think I have that wrong. Then when he was come from Galilee, the Galileans received him. Of course, we're talking about Jesus. Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So Jesus came again unto Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come to Judea and to Galilee, he went to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he's at the point of death. Then he said unto Jesus, unto him, except you see the sights and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word, these words of Jesus, and spoke unto him and went on his way. And he was now going down, his servants came and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then the nobleman inquired of them the hour that her son began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed in his whole house. So we see here our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a great physician. That he healed the nobleman's son. And this applies, and we today, we like to say, oh, medicine has advanced so far. We've accomplished so much. Sometimes I think we have. Then again, I don't think we've really went far. Because when my little wife stuck down, I went everywhere that I could think of. Everywhere I went to told. Everywhere I was referred to by other doctors to find a physician that could find her ailment, that could help her, to maybe help her cure, get well of this disease. We referred to the neuro clinic over at Huntsville. The doctor over there, a big tall man, I believe one of the tallest men I ever seen. And now I believe he's taller in more ways than one, if you know what I mean. I took my wife over there, and I sat out and waited while she and my daughter were inside. After a while, this doctor came outside, sought me out, called me into his little office, and he said, "Brother Lawhoff, I have very bad news for you. Your wife has an incurable disease. She has Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a very serious disease. It destroys every muscle in the body, and there's no known cure." There's never been a day so dark on this earth to me. I thought I had nowhere to turn but my little wife. She cheered me on. So I thought just what I would speak to you about today. And I came up. There is a great physician. They can cure all ailments, disease of any kind. If a man would likewise would also examine his spiritual body, he will find that he too suffers from a serious disease that man cannot cure. But God can through His Son. This disease is called sin. And when we, after we have sought our possession and the ailment are found, we're wise to follow the prescription and abide by the recommendation of our physician to seek good health. Likewise, a man is also wise if he suffers his spiritual, searches his spiritual body, realizes he suffers from those spiritual ailments that are in a sense even more terminal than any physical ailment. In the great book of healing, God's Word, this ailment is called sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Knowing this, since we must seek the great physician, Jesus Christ, since the great physician, the cure can only be found in Him, Acts 14:11. Failure to seek and heed the advice of the great physician is death. Through the grace of God, this great physician, Jesus Christ, has appeared, bringing the cure of sin to all men. And we all cherish this verse. I guess probably one of the first ones we learn to memorize. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Titus 2:11. Yet to benefit from God's gracious offer, man must follow his prescriptions for cure. To escape the bondage of sin and enjoy salvation in Jesus Christ, we must recognize the existing evils of sin and their heavenly cure. I cannot tell them all, but I have here listed 6 evils of sin that I consider most outstanding that we must seek the cure through our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of sin. Sinners love their sin. They love the pleasures of sin. Sin must be overcome if we live no part. John warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. John 20:15. Of course he means the sinful things of the world. For he specifies the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And Jesus told Nicodemus that men love darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. That's John 3:19. Every person, I know I have been faced with a favorite pastime. Our favorite habit that brings us much pleasure, which is found to be wrong. How hard it is to conquer the love of sin. The practice of sin. Because we love sin, we practice it. A man does not practice that which he despises. We're free moral agents to make our own decisions or choices about practicing sin. Paul writes, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Romans 6:12. Again he says, they who practice these things are worthy of death. Romans 1:32. We must stop this practice of sin. The state of sin in the spiritual realm, we have 2 choices in the state of sin. That is the kingdom of God or the influence of Satan. These are presented to us in various figures, ways, in the scriptures. God delivers out of the power of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13. John said Christians are of God and the whole world lies in the evil one. John 5:19. John describes the sinner's state as death. We must escape the state of sin. the guilt of sin. When we violate God's law, we're judged guilty. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all. James 2:10. In the 51st Psalm, we see a vivid picture of a man under the guilt of sin. Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Verses 1 and 10. In Romans 7, 14 through 25, the great apostle Paul describes his struggle with sin and its ensuing guilt prior to his salvation in Christ. His anguish cry has been heard or repeated in verses 24 by most every convicted sinner. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this death? There must be a deliverance from the guilt of sin. The power of sin. Observation tells us that sin has great power over its victims and its subjects. The witness, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the tobacco user, the sensationalist. See them struggle against the power of sin in their life. See how often they succumb to its force. Satan, the father of all sin, is like a roaring lion seeking prey until they are his. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil has an abundance supply of tricks and devices to ensnare us and to keep us in his power. Sin, like a cruel triumph, reigns in the flesh of sinners. Romans 6:14, we must break this awesome power of sin. The eternal consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now this is not just a physical death. It's the awful second death. Mentioned in Revelation 20, 10 through 15. It is a lake of fire and brimstone where the wicked will spend eternity. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. What can we do to save them from the perilous consequences of sin? God has graciously provided us an accurate cure for each of these problems related to sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, the great physician. We must accept His prescription and apply it faithfully to our lives. These verses come to my mind, Revelations 22:18 and 19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Do all that you do, in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Faith cures the love of sin. Now we're talking about the cures now. It changes us from our sinful things to God. Peter affirmed that God cleanses our hearts by faith. Acts 15:9. Paul reminded the Christians at Rome that becoming saints, they had died to the sin or to the love of sin. Romans 6:2, in the words of John, this is a victory that overcome the world, even our faith. In John 5:4, faith in God crowds out the love of sin and frees us from its grasp. What a great and glorious God we have. Repentance cures the practice of sin. The very word repent means to turn away from. As Paul stated, we who died to sin, shall we any longer live therein? Romans 6:2. We're crucified with Christ in our salvation. And separated from the old sinful way. Galatians 6:20. Formerly we walked in darkness of sin. Having repented, we now walk in the light of God's truth. John 1:6-7. The man who believes in Jesus Christ and truly repents, hates and despises the sin that once marred his life. One does not practice that which he dislikes or despises. Baptism cures the state of sin, since all alien sinners live in a state of sin and death. There must be an escape route into the kingdom of the saved, that is God's kingdom. The Lord has ordained an escape route and is set forth plainly in His Word. God Himself translates us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:13. This is accomplished in our baptism into Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Notice that baptism is into Christ. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. This helps us to understand the importance that God has put on the scheme of baptism. No man, understanding this, would refuse to submit to immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Forgiveness. One of the great problems plaguing modern man is guilt. Many are under a physician's care, or even hospitalized, because they can't get rid of their guilt, and it is destroying their mental health. Thank God that Christians are free from the guilt of sin. Our sins have been washed away. Acts 2:38. Acts 22:16. Our emasculation, faith, and proclamation has been set forth in Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit cures the power of sin. Forgiveness does not make us immune from sin. No, not in any way. But God gives us strength to meet and overcome all the temptations, sin's temptations. Paul prayed that God would strengthen the Ephesians with power through His Holy Spirit in inward man. Ephesians 3:16. Again he writes, but by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:3. There hath no temptation taken you, such as man can bear, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. When Jesus was tempted, he used the Holy Spirit. That is the Word of God to drive Satan away. When the faithful Christian use the sword of the Spirit, that is God's Word, to drive Satan away and resist all temptations. Everlasting life. Everlasting life provides escape and consequences. It provides escape from the eternal consequences of sin. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth me, him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into the judgment, but hath passed out of death unto life. John 5:24. In Revelation 26, John writes, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, which the second death hath no power. Praise God for that. We experience the first resurrection when we are buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:2-5. Over the faithful Christian, that awful second death in a lake of fire had no power. Thank God that Christ has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2:11-12. I believe that there are those here today, or that there may be, that suffer from this awful and dreadful disease, sin, that can not only destroy your body, it can destroy your soul. I plead with you today to look inside yourself, inside your own soul. Say, who am I that Christ should die for me? And determine if you suffer from this great disease of sin. We certainly stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how could he love me, a sinner, so condemned and unclean. We must heed the advice of the great Apostle Paul when he made this statement in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This call was made. Jesus came over to some 2,000 years ago. Jesus made this call. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here this morning and you feel the need to make the change in your life, which can only be done through faith in God's Word, I ask you now, as we stand and say, to come believing the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing on Him, repenting of your sins, and come and stand before this congregation and make the great confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. That concludes my message for today. Will you come? Will you come as we stand and sing?